Vienna. It is an honor for me to be invited here and have a keynote address to you. The title of my presentation is Hypercommunication Toward the Creation of New Media for the Information Network. I propose a title Toward the Creation of New Media for the Information Network, but according to the advice given by Professor Georgina, I added the words hypercommunication. Now, I feel a little bit afraid that you would have the impression that what we are doing under the name of hypercommunication means that we are doing something that would never be realized, or that would be realized only in science fiction. But that is not true. We want to be realistic. By hypercommunication, I mean the future form of communication. So that is only the extension of the present form of the communications. This bibliograph shows the contents of my talk. First, I will explain what is the hypercommunication. Then, as there may be several approaches to hypercommunication, I will explain our approach toward the realization of hypercommunication. Then again, there will be various kinds of technologies for the realization of hypercommunications. I will address several research projects being carried out in our laboratories. And finally, I will show you several examples of a hypercommunication system being studied in our laboratories. First, I will explain what is hypercommunication. I'm from ATL, and ATL is an abbreviation for Advanced Telecommunication Research Institute. Therefore, the mission of our laboratory is to study various kinds of technologies that will be used for the realization of future telecommunication systems or future telecommunication services. In other words, we have to contribute to the realization of multimedia communications. But recently, I began to feel that restricting our research area only within telecommunication is not so good. Let me show you an example. NTT, Nippon Telegraph and Telephone Corporation, has long believed that the future media of telecommunications that will take the place of telephone would be video phone. Now, video phone are commercially available. But as for market, there is nearly no market for video phone. This means that the emergence of new media depends not only technologies, but only depends on the trend of society and other various factors. So instead of only trying to realize multimedia communications, I think it is necessary for us to try to realize future media. In this future media, not only telecommunication technologies, but also other areas such as TVs, movies, video games, and even old media such as novels or poems would be integrated. When looking various kind of media, I think recently there is a new trend in various kind of media. That is, communications or entertainment in cyberspace is emerging. Let's look at various kind of media. For example, in telecommunication areas, internet is emerging. And recently, there is a common opinion that internet would be the next media for telecommunications that will take place of telephone. Why internet is so popular among people? The reason is that by connecting so many websites, internet is realizing the cyberspace, a kind of cyberspace. Still, the cyberspace generated by internet in its primitive style. But anyway, because people will see in internet the future form of telecommunications where people can communicate to each other in cyberspace. And that is the reason why internet is so popular among people. Then look at other areas. First, let's look at the area of movies. Recently, in movies, new technologies such as digital technologies or computer graphics technologies have been introduced. And by utilizing these technologies, various kind of realistic or hyper-realistic scenes that have never been possible in the conventional movie areas became possible. Therefore, recent movies can produce a new type of cyberspace, and by watching movies, people can enjoy entertainment in cyberspace. Then, finally, let's look at the other area of video game. In Japan, video games are very, very popular among children. And I think video games have totally changed the lifestyle of Japanese children. Most Japanese children spend more than 2 or 3 hours a day by playing video games. Why they are so crazy for playing games? The reason is that by playing games, they feel that they are involved in the cyberspace created by video game, and by controlling the CD characters of the video game, they have the feeling that they become a main actor of the video game and can experience the video game stories. Therefore, again, I want to say that there is a recent trend that communications for entertainment in cyberspace is emerging. Therefore, based on these basic considerations, let's set our future target of communications, which we call hypercommunications. The definition of hypercommunication is described here. By hypercommunication, I mean communication filling the gap of distance, time, and culture, and also natural communications with computers in cyberspace is realized. As you know, communication filling the gap of distance is a basic concept of communication. So this concept is a natural extension of the basic concept of telecommunication, and therefore will very well fit to the concept of future telecommunications. Of course, there are various kind of technologies necessary for the realization of hypercommunications. And I think these kind of technologies can be classified into several categories as shown here. First, it is necessary for us to realize, to create any kind of cyberspaces. This we call cyberspace generation technologies. And then, once cyberspace is generated, it is necessary for us to get into the cyberspace or warp into the cyberspace. These technologies will be called metamorphosis technologies. And then once we are in the cyberspace, the next thing for us to do is to manipulate objects in cyberspace in easy and natural way. Therefore, cyberspace handling technology is necessary. Now, cyberspace is generated and we are in the cyberspace and we can handle various kind of materials in cyberspace. The final thing we have to do is the communications in cyberspace. There are various kind of characters in addition to people in cyberspace. Therefore, it is necessary for the computer to generate various kind of characters. And also, it is necessary for these characters to carry out communications with humans. As I explain you later, there's a verbal and non-verbal aspect of communications, and I want to emphasize that even in the case of communications between characters and humans, non-verbal aspect of communications is necessary, and we have to realize non-verbal communications between humans and characters. Talk a little bit about approach toward hypercommunication, because as I said, there will be several various kind of approaches toward the realization of hypercommunication. So what I want to explain about our approach adopted at ATR. I think so far, telecommunication technologies has been advancing regardless of other areas, such as society or art. But in the future, and especially in the era of multimedia, it will be necessary for engineers or researchers in the area of telecommunications to consider the relation with other areas, because communication has very close connection with other factors such as society or art. Therefore, it is not good for us to focus only on technologies, but it will be necessary for us to study or start studying some interdisciplinary area. For example, interdisciplinary area between engineering and art, or between engineering and society. Based on these considerations, in ATR, we have started the interdisciplinary research between engineering and art. This approach we call art and technology. Of course, as I pointed out, the interdisciplinary area between society and engineering is an important issue, because communication in one sense, a social behavior. But this is not the focus of today's presentation, so I want to add a little bit more about our approach on art and technology. I believe the reason why I say it's very difficult to consider the interdisciplinary area between art and engineering is that in communication, there are mainly two channels. One is verbal channel, and the other one is non-verbal channel. And let's look at this simple model of human communication behaviors. On the surface, there is a layer which controls verbal or logical communications of humans based on the usage of language. And so far, I think the researchers in the area of telecommunications and researchers in the area of artificial intelligence have been focusing only on this logical communications. But under this logical communications, there will be, there are, I think, other more basic layers which controls, which control more basic behaviors, human communications, such as interactions or reactions. And I think non-verbal information, such as emotion, come from these layers. So as I said, in the future, or in the future form of telecommunications, telecommunication technologies should support not only verbal aspects of communication, but also non-verbal aspects of communication. So now I think we have to start, I mean, some research for treating the non-verbal aspect of communication. In other sense, we have to start the research for treating emotions or sensitivities or other kind of non-verbal informations. But we have only little experiences of treating this very difficult information. I think it will be necessary for us to start some collaboration with other people who have long experiences of treating non-verbal information such as emotions or sensitivities. And I think the artists are such kind of people. Probably you may think that there is a big gap between engineers and artists, or in other words, engineering and art are on the opposite side. Probably in the case of traditional art, that might be true. That may be true. But recently, even in the area of art, there is a new trend that is a new form of art called interactive art is emerging. In the traditional art, the information flow is only one way, from artist through artworks to audiences. So in this case, only incomplete communication is achieved. But in the case of interactive art, artworks can change their forms depending on the interactions between between artworks and audiences. This means that the information from audiences to artworks, and even through artworks to artists, is becoming possible. This means that artists in the area of interactive art is trying to develop a new kind of communication between artists and audiences. Of course, in this case, the communication is not a verbal communication, but mainly non-verbal communications. So in the area of telecommunications, as I said, it will be necessary for us to start a new research for treating non-verbal communications. And also in the area of interactive art, there is a new trend for developing a new type of communication between artists and audiences. So based on this consideration, I think it is a good time for us, I mean, for engineers and artists to start some kind of collaboration for realizing a future form of new communications. The next question is whether this collaboration would be fruitful or not. I believe, of course, this approach would be fruitful because the approaches from artistic side and approaches from technology side is supplementary, as shown here. The artistic approach is based on kansei. Kansei is a Japanese word for sensitivity and intuition for artists. And on the other side, technology or engineering approach is based on analysis of human behaviors and utilization of image and speech processing technologies. Let me show you one example. Suppose that we want to realize a human-like agent which have the shape of humans and have the face like humans. In this case, the usual way of engineers is to try to create a agent with faces that resembles those of humans. So this figure shows an example. But on the other hand, the artist approaches different through a deformation process. An example of what they create is shown here. From the physical standpoint of view, or physical distance standpoint of view, this face does not resemble to that of humans, but still, it looks a little bit somehow natural, and we feel some kind of familiarity to this face. Why it is so? This is very, very strange, but still, we feel so. So, as I show here, these two approaches, one is from artistic side and the other one is from engineering side, is supplementary. If the collaboration works well, I believe we can obtain a very, very fruitful result as the result of collaboration between artists and engineers. Now, keeping this in mind, I will go on to the next scene, and I will introduce you several research projects and research activities being done in a laboratory according to the list shown here. First, I will talk about cyberspace generation technologies. I think cyberspace generation technology can be classified into two categories. One is realistic environment generation, and the other one is hyper-realistic environment generation. Well, what is realistic environment generation? Well, let me show you one example. Suppose we are talking with our friends about our next vacation to Hawaii or to New York. In that case, 3D images of Hawaii or 3D images of New York are generated by computer and are surrounding us. That is, I think, a good situation. And in this environment, I think our communication would become more active. So this is one example of realistic environment generation. So the realistic environment generation can be defined as the creation of 3D images of any time and any place. To do that, the first thing for us to do is to create views from any specific viewpoint based on given images. The conventional way of doing this is to carry out stereo matching between multiple images and then to construct a three-dimensional model of the scenes and then finally to obtain an image from specific viewpoint. But this process is, I think, very, very time-consuming and unstable when errors occur. So what we are adopting is more direct approach. Instead of trying to construct 3D model of scenes, what we are doing is to obtain enough information only to calculate information necessary only for obtaining an image from some specific views. This process needs only a small amount of calculation, and an image from any specific viewpoint can be obtained nearly in real time. As for the details of the technology for this algorithm, Our colleagues will make a presentation in the poster session of this conference. So if you are interested in, please go to the poster session site. If once we can, we have done it, as a next step, it will be necessary, it will be possible for us to merge and CG-based images into the three-dimensional images. Now, at this point, I will give you a short video clip. These are two input images, and based on these two images, we obtain images from various viewpoint. And this video shows the obtained images from various kind of viewpoint. And this is a result of merging realistic scene images and computer-generated images. Of course, in many cases, the real scene images are not enough for obtaining arbitrary scene images. So in this case, it is necessary for us to generate computer graphics-based scene images and at the same time to merge in a very sophisticated way these two kinds of images, real scene images and computer graphics scene images. And we are doing this. And also, it is necessary to simulate natural phenomena or natural events, such as clouds or waves or trees, based on computer graphics technologies. And I think fractal is a good tool for generating natural phenomena or natural events. So this view graph shows an example of trees, computer graphics-based tree images generated using a fractal algorithm. Okay, these are the examples of technologies for producing a realistic environment generation. Then what would be the hyper-realistic environment generation? Again, suppose that we are talking about, for example, some painters. For example, this is a Dali. This Thai is, the picture on this Thai is Dali. So suppose that we are talking about the world of Dali. In that case, suppose that the world of Dali is generated by a computer and these images are surrounding us. For most of us, this is a nightmare, but for the fan of Dali, that is a long dream. And for the researchers of Dali, I think, probably they want that, they wish that this kind of technologies would be developed. Of course, there are various kind of technologies, various kind of technologies for realizing hyper-realistic environments. And as one example of hyper-realistic environment generation, I want to propose here a concept of interactive environment. Well, what is interactive environment? In our daily life, we carry out communication in various kind of places. When we do business meeting, we do it in, usually we do it in a meeting room. But if we have, if we want to have talk with our friends, we do it, we will do it in a restaurant or in a cafe. What does this mean? I think this means that environment are fixed in our daily communication. So we select environment depending on communication. This means that environment and communication have very, very close relationship. That is a starting point for interactive environment. By using computer graphics and computer vision technologies, it is possible now for us to generate any kind of environment. So now I think environments are not fixed. Environments are flexible. Therefore, based on this consideration, we propose a concept of interactive environment. In interactive environment, environments themselves can vary depending on communications, on the status of communications. Let me explain more detail the concept of interactive environment based on the experimental system we are working on. Suppose that these two systems are in different places. For example, one is in Japan and the other one is here in Ottawa. And these two systems are connected by telecommunication network. And these two people are friends and they're enjoying their communications. There are mainly two differences between this interactive environment and the conventional teleconferencing system. In the case of teleconferencing system, what you can see on the display, on the screen, is the image of the other guy, image of the other person in the distant place, and also the background image. In the usual case, the background image is the image of meeting room. But instead of doing this, in this case, in addition to the image of the other people, the image of herself is on the screen. And at the same time, instead of sending an image of the meeting room, the computer generated various kind of virtual images, such as virtual trees, virtual flowers, or virtual grasses. And these virtual plants grow depending on the communication between them. So in these environments, they have the feeling that they are discussing, they are having a communication in face-to-face mode, and also they are in a virtual environment. And as you can easily see, the communication is a process of achieving mutual understanding. They feel them, they have the feeling that depending on their mutual understanding, their virtual environment will become rich. Again, here I will show you how this system works using video. So this is a kind of virtual shake hand. And as I said, in addition to the image of the other people in the distant place, the image of the people at this side. It's on the screen. So in the screen, they have the feeling that they are having discussion or communication in face-to-face mode. And there is one more thing you can easily notice, that at first the screen was wide, vacant, but as their communication was gone, as their communications go on, virtual trees or virtual flowers or virtual grasses are growing. Computer graphics images of these virtual flowers or virtual trees or virtual grasses are created by artists in our laboratories, and also they control the growing process of these virtual plants. The basic mechanism is very, very simple. There is a camera on the top of the screen, and the camera is detecting the gestures of these two people. And very simple gesture recognition is carried out. And based on the result of the gesture recognition, the artist control the growing process, this virtual plants. By using this system, what they are doing is very, very interesting. What they are doing is debate. So they are discussing some very, very difficult issues. And on the screen, there are virtual plants. So this is there is a kind of mismatch between what they are doing at what are on the screen. And later I asked these two people what they felt. And they told me that they had some very strange feeling. And at the same time, they told me that their discussion was inspired and activated by these virtual flowers or virtual trees. Okay, finally, it seems that they came to the mutual understanding. So again, they do a virtual shake hand, and they say goodbye. And, well, the screen becomes again the vacant. Then cyberspace is generated. Then the next thing for us to do is to develop technologies for us to get into the cyberspace. So one example of warping in cyberspace is as I showed in the video to reflect our original image on the screen. But this is not so good in all the times. For example, suppose that if we're talking about movies such as Star Wars, it is very, very strange that our original figure, for example, in my case, I'm wearing suits, my original image is reflected on the screen. That will give us a very, very strange feeling. In that case, the better way would be that my figure is transferred into that of, for example, in this case, this robot, and in the form of a robot, I am in the cyberspace and communication with other guys. So for that purpose, we have developed the virtual Kabuki system. The basic technology for virtual Kabuki system is facial expression, detection, and reproduction technologies. There are many researchers working in the same area, but in many cases, they are emphasizing only the reproduction of realistic facial expressions. But instead of trying to do so in a virtual Kabuki system, we map detected facial expressions onto Kabuki actor's face. So this bibliograph shows an flow chart for reconstruction, detection, and reconstruction of facial images. I won't get into the details of technologies for this, but I want to show you only the results of this process. This result shows the case of realistic facial expression detection and reproduction. As I show you the video later, if once this CD-based face begins to move, it gives us a very, very strange feeling, and sometimes it gives me the very grotesque feeling. So the reproduction, this means that reproduction of a realistic face is facial expression is very, very difficult. So instead of doing this, what we did is to map the detected facial expression onto that of Kabuki actor. This was done by artist, again by an artist in our laboratory. What he did is to modify the three-dimensional model of an original person into that of a Kabuki actor's face. And in this case, this bibliograph shows the result of reproduction. His face, his facial expression is detected by using this camera, and mapping process is carried on. Detection and mapping process is carried out in the computer, and we can see on the display the mapped facial expression onto a Kabuki actor. And at the same time, it is necessary, if we want to change into the form of a Kabuki actor, our body actions can be detected by the computer and transferred into that of Kabuki actor. For that purpose, we use some graphical image, and based on the image obtained through this some graphical camera, we carry out the detection of some representative points of our body. And this light figure shows the detection results. And by combining these two kinds of technologies, one is the facial expression detection and reproduction, and the other one is body motion detection and reproduction technologies. And by combining these two kinds of technologies, we could obtain and shape of Kabuki actors. So if we make some kind of facial expressions and body motions in front of the camera, my facial expression and body motion is changed into that of a Kabuki actor and displayed on the computer, on the and displayed on the screen. Okay, again, I will show you. The demonstration of this virtual Kabuki system. So he's an artist, and what he's doing is a modification of the original 3D model into that of Kabuki actor's facial model. So this video, this is a reproduced face facial expression, and I think it gives you some strange feeling. Okay, and this video shows the process of body or body gesture detection. So when a person do some kind of facial expression and body gestures in front of a camera, his facial expression and body body motions are reflected into that of Kabuki actor and displayed on the screen. So you have the feeling that you become a Kabuki actor and playing some play of Kabuki. This demonstration was exhibited at the last SIGGRAPH conference held in New Orleans, and it attracted attention of many people. Okay. Well, then the next thing, we are in the cyberspace with the shape of different person. Now the next thing for us to do is to manipulate the object in cyberspace in free and easy way. The conventional way of manipulating object in cyberspace is to use globe devices such as data globes or cyber globes. These globe devices make it possible for us to carry out intuitive manipulation, but at the same time, it has several deficiencies. One is that it does not give us the feeling of force feedback, so it is difficult for us to carry out time manipulation. And at the same time, it is very tiresome to wear on some special hardware, such as data globes. So instead of using data globe devices, what we are doing is to realize force feedback and at the same time hand gesture recognitions. As for force feedback, first we developed a force feedback system called PDDM, pumped top display for dexterous manipulation. Force feedback system, I think, there are two contradictory requirements for force feedback system. One is it is necessary for us to search an object we want to handle in a very, very, very big cyberspaces. And once we have found the object, the next step is necessary for us to manipulate the object in a very fine way. So to solve these problems, our basic idea is to integrate into the force display system a very small LCD. This small LCD can work as there are two phases. In the observing phase, this small display acts as a window to cyberspace. And by looking into this display, we can easily find the object we want to handle in a wide cyberspaces. And once we find the object we want to handle and grasp the object, then the mode will shift into the handling phase. So in the handling phase, this small display is set on the virtual spheres, small virtual sphere that contains the object we are handling. So by by turning this small display into various kind of angles, we can observe the object from various kind of viewpoints, even from backside or from bottom side. And by doing this, we can carry out a fine manipulation. This view graph shows how the PDDM is used in handling of objects in cyberspaces. And also, in our daily life, it is very, very common for us to carry out some cooperative object manipulation. So for that purpose, we have developed a cooperative object manipulation system by using a multiple force display system. So this system has two modes. One is multi-user manipulation, and the other one is multi-hand manipulation mode. In multi-user manipulation mode, two people in the same place or distant places can handle one project in a cooperative way. So his manipulation is reflected as in the form of force feedback on the other side, on the other person. So in this way, integration of operations by multiple users is realized, and at the same time, even if in the distant places, improvement of presence, feeling the false feedback of as a result of the manipulation on this other side is realized. And also, this system can be used in a multi-hand manipulation mode. In this mode, we can manipulate objects by using both hands. For example, we can use this one by left hand and this one by right hand. And in this case, as in our daily life, we frequently manipulate objects by both hands, the precise object manipulation is realized. And this concept, I think, can be very, very easily extended to the case where more than two force display systems are used. In this case, I think we can manipulate, we can carry out very complex manipulation by using various kind of hands. Or in other words, we have, as if we have extensional slave hands. So we, in this case, we can become a person with many, many hands, like this Buddha with thousand hands. Okay. Again, I will show you video again here. This video shows the guy is manipulating a virtual object in virtual space by using a data globe. And because data globe does not give us the force feedback feeling, and it's very difficult to carry out fine manipulation. The first step toward realizing fine manipulation is to add sound when collision occurs. For example, if the collision between desk, between virtual desk and virtual object we are handling occurs, if we generate sound that will give the people a feeling that they are handling some realistic object. And this video shows how the conventional force feedback system is used for manipulating objects in cyberspace. And the next video shows our cooperative object handling system by using two force display system. One is by one person and the other one is by another person. They are handling a virtual object in virtual space in a cooperative way. And also to realize manipulation of object in cyberspace without using any special type of hardware, we are studying real-time recognition of hand gestures. Real-time recognition of hand gestures is a very, very difficult task, and single camera is not enough for carrying out this process. So what we are doing is to use a multiple camera. And by integrating the images obtained by this multiple camera, we detect very, very precisely the position of the hand and also the rotation angle of hand. And finally, a finger bending detection is carried out. This view graph shows the process. Process of object handling in the cyberspace by bare hand. Okay, again.
Simple calibration is performed to accommodate participants with hands of any size. Since the virtual scenes are displayed in a 3D display, the participants feel as if the virtual scenes they created are real 3D spaces.
This video was submitted to the electric garden of the coming Seagraph at Los Angeles, and it was accepted, so you will be able to experience by yourselves the same demonstration at the coming Seagraph at Los Angeles. Well, I have 14 minutes left, so, okay. Finally, we have to carry out a communication with characters in cyberspaces. Then the first thing for us to do is to generate an autonomous agent. In this case, by autonomous agent, I mean instead of animation generation by keyframing method, we want to generate an animation of agent by automatic method. The human behaviors can be classified into, can be modeled in a multi-layer model. And on the top, there is a model where high-level behavior sequences are described by script. And there are other lower layers, such as behaviors, actions, action unit. And at the bottom, there is a layer when human actions are described by joint and degree of freedom at each joint. Conventional keyframe techniques have been utilizing this layer. So what we want to realize is to give a little bit higher level tool for generating animations. And what we could obtain is a generation tool for animation of human walking and running. By specifying a rather high level parameters such as velocity or step length or step frequency, automatic animations, running and walking animation of human is generated automatically by computers. So by specifying parameters such as velocities, walking velocities, or other high-level parameters, the walking or running motions, running animations of a human can be generated automatically by computers. And let me explain a little bit more about nonverbal communications. I think there are many, many researchers working in the area of agents. What they are trying to realize is to give the agent the capability of verbal communications. But as I said, in our daily life, nonverbal aspect of communication is very, very important. So I believe it is necessary for us to generate agent which has the capability of recognizing emotions and reacting to it. This we call emotional agents. Emotional agents consist of mainly two parts. One is emotion recognition part, which is carried out based on neural network architecture. And based on the recognition result, emotion-to-reaction conversion is carried out. This emotion-to-reaction conversion is done by an artist in our laboratory. Various kind of reaction animations of an agent is created by an artist. Now, let's watch how it works. So this video shows how people can interact with this emotional agent. The interesting thing here is that this emotional agent does not have the capability of recognizing meanings of speech. What he can understand is only the emotion involved in speech, and it is reacting to the recognition result. But still, the interesting thing is that people can enjoy by carrying on the interaction with this emotional agent. And even if the training is carried out using Japanese utterances, this emotional agent can act even in the case of interaction with English-speaking people. Okay. Well, we are now nearing at the end of my presentation. And finally, I will give you several examples of hypercommunication systems. As examples of hypercommunication systems, we are studying two things. One is Meta Museum, and the other one is interactive movies. As you know, there are various kind of information accumulated at museums. For example, there are a lot of artifacts of ancient times, or a lot of artworks created by artists. And at the same time, there are curators, and exhibition of these artifacts or artworks are carried out based on the knowledge of curators. So I think museums are a good place for carrying out high-level communication between visitors and this kind of huge amount of information. But still, the present day museum has two deficiencies, I think. One is that the communication is one way from the exhibition side to the visitors. And another demerit is that the way of exhibition is carried out only for general purpose, not for the specific requirement of an individual visitor. So based on this basic consideration, we propose a concept of metamuseum. In metamuseum, the objective is to realize a new entertaining space to stimulate human intelligence and creativity, and also to realize a support environment for expat and non-expat communications. Here, the important thing is that we want to realize a metamuseum based on not virtual exhibits, but also but physical exhibits, because I think physical exhibits are very, very important thing and keys to open windows for rich conceit, curiosity, imagination, and thought of visitors. This view graphs illustrate and shows an images illustration of metamuseum. There are several key technologies for realizing metamuseum: augmented reality, multimodal interface, and lifelike guide agent. When looking at exhibitions, and if people want to get more information on some specific exhibits, the additional information is obtained and shown in this shown using this multimedia guide receiver. And also at the same time, there is a lifelike guide agent that acts as an intermediate between visitors and exhibitors' side. By carrying out multimodal interaction between visitors, this lifelike guide agent can understand the specific requirement of each visitor and can guide through the museum along to some appropriate path, or sometimes can lead them into virtual spaces. We have developed, toward the realization of metamuseum, we have developed a prototype of metamuseum, and we will show you the demonstration by using video. I have to change here. Here, a computer graphics-based image of the ancient Japanese village is reconstructed and displayed on a very big screen. Oh, it has finished. Oh. Okay. And visitors can enjoy a walk through this virtual museums. And if they want to get information on some specific exhibit, something, this information are obtained and displayed on a window. Well, okay. The timing is running out. And finally, I will very, very briefly refer to another example of hyper-communication system. I think one good example of future media would be an interactive movies. In interactive movies, one can become an actor or actress of a movie and experience a movie story. In interactive movies, various kind of techniques or technologies should be integrated. For example, from telecommunications, interaction technologies, communication technologies should be supplied. And also we can learn from movies, techniques for how to use images or sound. And also from video games, technologies for interactions and technologies for storytelling will come. And also, the very old media, such as novels or poems, are very important key for the successful realization of interactive movies, because we can learn various kind of things, such as storytelling or the creation of empathy from novel creation or poem creation. And as for this interactive movies, I will give another presentation in this morning, so I will not tell the details of this interactive movie, but we'll give you only a short clip of video. And she will become an actress of this interactive movie story. Now it started. In these interactive movies, various kind of interaction technologies, such as speech recognition technologies, or emotion recognition technologies, or image recognition technologies are incorporated. So, in this case, she can act a role of an main actress and can experience the movie stories by exchanging interactions with other characters in the movies. So depending on the result of the interaction, such as a speech recognition result, or emotion recognition result, or gesture recognition result, the story, the flow of story would change. So in this case, she can feel this. She became are real. She is really involved in this interactive story and can have the feeling of experience in movie world. Okay, the rest of the video will be given in the other presentation. So if you are interested in the rest of the story, please come to our session. Okay, well, sorry, I think I talked too much, and it was a little bit difficult for you to understand the total story of my presentations. Before closing my presentation, I want to add one comment. As I said, I think in the next century, telecommunication method based on multimedia technologies would become very, very important one. So the engineers and researchers working in the area of telecommunications have the privilege and at the same time, I think the responsibilities for deciding our future society, our future way of telecommunications. So I think we have to continue our research keeping this in mind. This concludes my presentation. Thank you very much.